Okay, we'll begin by reading chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that lived forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from the heaven spoke to me, saying, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, but as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, you shall prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. We know this is symbolism. We got to get past the symbolism. If we don't understand that, what are we reading here? Some kind of gobbledygook if you don't understand it. In the natural, it means nothing. Until we have the understanding of it, the key that unlocks it, to where our mind can literally understand what the Spirit was saying to John when he wrote this down. If we don't have that, we don't have anything.
It just sounds like a scary
story
without.
Your eyes are?
I'm just missing.
Okay, we'll go back to verse 1. It said, and I saw another mighty angel. What might this be? It's the mighty messenger. But I see this as the corporate Christ, not just one. Because Christ, has Christ ever been divided?
No, he's always been one.
See, although we have been scattered all over the earth in the natural, Christ has never been in a realm of the Spirit, has never been divided, has he? The head could not be separated from the body and live, could it?
No.
See? Don't work that way. So this is the corporate Christ coming down from out of the spirit realm. The word heaven, we know, is not right. Mm-hmm. The word heaven is a contrivance of the church system. And King James was part of that. But they came out of the spirit realm clothed with a cloud. And what's the cloud again? Hebrews 12, the great cloud of witnesses. Compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. And a rainbow, or the covenant, was upon his head. That's the Christ. Now, why would he say the covenant was upon his head?
It's in his mind.
There you go. But it's also visible. The covenant, when the covenant's made between you and God, and you realize what this covenant is, remember the word grace, what it means? The divine influence in the heart or the mind of man, and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. So people can see the covenant of God in your life. Because you're going to be what's your mind is, tells you are. If you tell yourself, I'm a failure, what are you going to be? You're going to be a failure. But if you tell yourself, I'm a success because I cannot lose in Christ, guess what you'll be?
Successful in everything you need.
Because what your mind tells you are, that's what you believe. Kind of builds your confidence a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It said his face was as it were the sun. S-U-N, the S-O-N, yeah. And his feet, or his lifestyle, is as pillars okay, a fire. And the word pillars there is literally speaking about being tested and firm. A pillar, people don't put pillars up unless they've been tested, load tested, see if they can carry the load of everything, correct? That's what pillars are for, to carry a load. So what he's saying is, the ones that he's talking about being pillars, just like he called Peter, you know, he was a pillar in the church of God. Peter had been tested. In our lives, we have to be tested. That's why he's talking about the feet. Our lifestyle has been tested. Have we been tested to the point where we begin to understand who we really are?
It's not your job, not nothing.
It's not an obligation. It's not. It's just who I am. Uh-huh. You've got to see this as who you are. It's not doing things. That's what the church has given to the people that go to church. They've heard, if you do the right things, then
you're a godly person.
You're a godly person if you give of yourself, give of your time. But if you're giving it begrudgingly, and you know, if it's truly not in your nature, people do it all the time. And they give things, and they're nice to people that they don't like, and when they do something for them, they walk away from them and say, blah, you know, can't stand that person. Was that really given in the nature of Christ?
No.
So, yeah, it can't be double-minded about this stuff. It's either it is or it isn't. You know? So it's better just to be straight up whatever it is and just let it go. But we get so caught up in doing the things that the majority, because of our country being a democratic society, we think God is democratic too, and he's not.
Who are you when you're stripped down to all the natural stuff?
When you're stripped naked before
your strength that you're lying on, your everything is just
him.
Yeah, you're stripped, all that natural stuff is just being stripped away from you. Are you still?
Yep.
Still thankful.
Okay. So we have to be tried in the fire, and a lot of people I know don't like the fire. I don't like the fire necessarily, but I like the results of it.
Yeah.
I know what it's done to me. Not what it, when I was going through it, I didn't like it. But I understand now that all the things I've went through and the things I'll have to continue to go through, guess what? I got no control over it. I'm going to sense it and experience it whether I like it or not. Might as well go along with it because I won't be struggling so hard, will I? It's easier.
Yeah.
Just go along with God's program and it'll be all right. He's got a plan that will work.
Is it his ways are far above our...
His mind's superior to our minds, so we can't figure it out. We had a call from Canada yesterday. Doreen, bless her heart, she wanted to know why. And I said, that answer isn't there.
Why
going testing? Through all these testing? I said, I've told you. But you know, why did it happen the way it happened? No, God hasn't given me privy to that, so I can't answer that.
Yeah, I think it's getting to quit wrestling against it because I've been going through the same thing. And
didn't he say we wrestle not against flesh and blood? This is the flesh and blood we got to wrestle against right here ourselves. It's not what everybody else does. It's what you do to yourself. Nothing happens to ourselves unless we agree to it. See, you can't make me mad unless I agree to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
You could do whatever you want to do, but if I don't agree that I'm going to get mad, guess what? I ain't going to get mad.
They're just being silly. You know, I mean, her foolish or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But if are you going to partake in it or not, you know?
Absolutely.
That's kind of not relying on yourself.
It's because you truly don't trust who you are. You still lean them back to the flesh side versus staying with the spirit.
Right. You overcome that by not relying on the flesh, thinking you rely on Christ.
And see,
it don't matter.
Remember what Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear what?
My voice now, of the other one they do not listen to.
Okay, now, that's what we're talking about here. When these things going on, and they're going on in our head, you know, that accuser, that Satan or that Diabolos or Satanus talking to us in our head, the false accuser or the accuser. When it comes talking, it's not God. We know it's not God.
Yeah.
If you know it's not God, then why would you respond to it? You should respond by absolute nothing. We're telling it to shut up. and just move on. Kick some grass or dirt over it and just go on, like the dog.
Just like that refiner's pot, he heats it up, gets off some of that dross that's hidden presumptuous things in it, and brings it to the top, skims it off, and then
maybe he lets you heal up a little bit.
Then he knows just the right amount of different pressures to put on you to maybe push it to the edge again, and it comes up again. And
absolutely,
it's not fun.
No, it's not.
It's good.
It is not fun.
It's the process is not good, but the results are very good.
Absolutely. Okay. In verse 2 it says, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set or placed his right foot. What's the right foot speak of?
Authority.
Power and authority, full power and authority, the right side. Upon the sea. And what's the sea?
Humanity.
It's humanity. And it can also be something else. It can be the covenant. Yep. The covenant. The sand covenant on the sea. Mm-hmm. And his left foot, right? His left foot is what? That's the judgment foot. On the earth. And what's the earth? That's the dust covenant. So he said, he's standing on these two covenants. What would that make those two covenants?
The dust and sand, is that what you're talking
about? Yeah. What would those two covenants be in this conversation? There's three covenants.
Yeah.
The heavenly. And he said he came down from the spirit realm, the star covenant.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's standing upon the dust and the sand.
Yeah.
So what would the dust and sand be? Think about building the house.
My foundation.
There you go. See, that's the foundation of what he's doing. He's working with the dust and sand to elevate us to the star covenant. Those are the foundations.
And you can't go. Foundation is Christ.
Right. But they went through those foundations. He already laid that foundation. See, and no other foundation can be laid.
To be aware of it.
That's what this is all about, making you aware of who you really are in him.
This is just like this stuff is not to us, it's for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things is just showing us that this is the foundation so we get elevated into the spirit realm.
And it says, and verse 3, he cried with a loud voice, exactly like a lion roars when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, what is seven thunders? What does that represent?
That would be the perfect word of God.
Well, it was seven different messengers coming down here. There's seven messengers.
Okay.
But each one of them with another piece of the message. Okay, every messenger is not carrying the full thing. It's like the seven pieces of it coming together. Okay?
So seven pieces of the
Truth. Of the perfect word
of God. Okay.
Right. And the seven together make it perfection. See, the seven thunders uttered their voices, and their voice, every time the thunder roared in the Old Testament, when someone was speaking, it was God speaking, and the ones who had the ears to hear heard God speak clearly, and the others just said there was a lot of noise.
Yeah,
they didn't understand. They couldn't have the capacity to hear.
They couldn't hear. They just heard noise.
And it said, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, and the thunders again being the aspects of God's word, what he wants out, the seven different levels of it, he uttered their voices. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from the realm of the Spirit saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Why?
It was for you.
Absolutely. It's individual. And that's the whole thing. The church has tried to make this a corporate thing and just hodgepodge everything together, throw it in, make it a big stew of some kind, you know. What do they call that down south, cooking, where they throw everything in a pot?
Junk
gumbo. Yeah.
Jumbo.
It's not gumbo. This
jumbo
is jumbo, gumbo, whatever it is. Dumbo, whatever. But see, it's not about everything being the same. It's about each individual. How God deals with me is not the way he deals with Lisa, is it? See, God deals with each one of us on an individual basis. He knows us. He created us. So He knows what we are and how to deal with us. And that's what people don't understand. Lord, do you remember one time after you had had your surgery, you came back and you had something you wanted to speak on?
Oh, my jaw was cut. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't speak clearly at that time because my head was still swollen up.
See, and I had no doubt you heard something, but it wasn't for everyone. Isn't that exactly what I told
everyone
you?
Everyone couldn't receive it because they hadn't went through the experience.
It wasn't theirs.
Because I was in pretty much hell for about 5 days or something there. And
But didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
I said, this is yours, and it's not for everybody. Sometimes the things we get are not for everybody, so we just go ahead and seal them up in your own mind, and if God wants them back out, He'll bring them out. But it's not for us to give everything we got to everybody we see, because they can't handle it anyway. You just overwhelm them, make them all mad at you. Okay, verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to the spirit realm and swear in him that liveth into the age of ages who created the realm of the spirit and the things that are therein and the earth and the things therein and the sea and the things therein that there should be time no longer. There's going to come a point when all three realms in each individual's life. I'm not talking about a cataclysmic thing with the whole earth slapping and banging and changing everything. I'm talking about it's going to come as an individual. You're going to walk in that realm. Time doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It just is.
Yeah, it is. What's your shirt say? It is what it is. And we're going to come to a place where it just is. And you won't worry about what day it is or what time of day it is, because you're just going to do what you do. Do you think that cat walking around here cares what time it is?
No. Unless it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock she knows she gets her treats and she'll be here no matter what. But she don't know what time it is. Your cats don't know what time it is, but they know, they've got a pattern out when they're going to eat, though, don't they? It doesn't really matter about the time. Just going to do what has to be done. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, that's not exactly what it should say. It said the mystery of God, it is finished. There's no more mysteries. We come to that place of maturity. There's no more mystery. It's finished.
It is what it is.
And it be what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. Don't want to do anything about it. We're satisfied, we're content with whatever God does, as He has declared to His servants the prophets. In Galatians, I can't remember the verse now, 3 and 5 or something like that, it says, don't hold me to that one, but it's in Galatians, He says, He will do nothing without first He tells His reveals it to His holy apostles and prophets.
To His holy apostles and prophets.
Yeah. He will not do anything without first doing it that way.
What was it again? Instead of the mystery of God should be finished?
It is finished.
It is.
It is finished. What did Jesus say on the cross?
It is finished, yes. Mm.
He didn't say that prophetically, did he?
No.
See, he walked it all the way to the end.
He did it.
And we got to do the same thing, come to the end. It's not the end of what, you know, just because we die or something, because then everybody was just going to be absolutely perfected and this would all make no sense. But when we come to the end of ourself, when no longer is myself important in the scheme of things, it's about doing what God wants, and what I want really takes the back burner.
Yesterday, I didn't have no real reason to. I just come to it. All of a sudden, it was like just a feeling, this don't matter.
It don't.
This don't matter.
It don't.
I mean, no matter how it turns out, this don't matter. This don't matter. It was a peace coming over me, and it was this right here.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, but I just didn't care.
when it's all over, it's over, and we didn't start it. We're not going to finish it. We're parts of the puzzle, and we'll fit in our place, and that's the way it'll be. You know, if we got all these appendages on us and we come to a place where there's more appendages or less appendages, we don't fit in that groove. We have to fit the one that fits us. And it's not easy finding that place, is it? If it's easy, everybody'd be doing it right now, but they're not. And they're not. It's never going to be that easy for anybody. Because he said he learned obedience through what?
Obedience.
Through the things he suffered.
Oh, yeah.
See? And suffering is not feeling good.
What is that? God seeks those to worship him in spirit.
And in truth.
That's the live it, walk it out.
You got to.
And it's going to go through a process, going through that foundation, all this stuff, and then you just be living in the spirit.
Well, if he said he wants you to worship him in spirit and truth, well, to worship him in spirit, we would have to be in spirit. We'd have to be like him, wouldn't we? Because that's what worship really is. And he had to walk it out. If he had to walk it out, and everybody, and this is the view most people have, that Jesus was a special son of God, and we can never attain to be special like him. As long as we believe that, do you think we can ever attain to the fullness of God? God wants us to grow to maturity. He wants us to be just like his other sons. And nobody thinks we can do it. Well, aren't we denying what God said we are?
Absolutely.
If we believe we can never attain to the fullness of God like Christ, like Jesus was, then we're denying what God said.
But there's the whole thing.
What?
You don't have to attain to do anything.
I understand.
You already are. It's the lies that's been completely, constantly told to you over and over and over.
That other stuff just don't matter.
What was the first lie in the Bible? In Genesis? When the serpent, that thing between her ears, tells Eve, hey, if you do this, you'll be like God. We were already created in God's image.
Yeah.
They don't believe it, though. And it's never been believed by the majority of the people, especially the church system. No one believes that.
Letting go of and quit believing that tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm. That good and evil both come off of that same tree.
Quit believing it.
Sure they do.
Because it's in us.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we got to get through that and get.
What's a tree represent?
It's humanity.
Well, it's in humanity. See?
It's in us. It's
the seven, remember the seven ites in the land? I mean, there's a lot of ways to say it, but it's true. All those flaws are in us, and we have to realize, and he said, they're stronger and mightier than you. If those things are stronger and mightier than you, how are you going to overcome them? Yeah. Except submitting to the Christ.
Kind of boils down to that when we just don't feel like we're worthy of any good.
Yep. Sure, that we're given in to that thing in our head telling us we're not worthy. As long as we believe we're not worthy, how can we ever ascend? Mm-hmm. We can never ascend up. In fact, I bought two hats while he's gone. It says ascend on them.
So all this stuff, it's a refining process.
It's a process.
And you've been refined.
It's a stone in your path.
We are already, you're never going to be anything that you're not now. You already are whatever you are supposed to be, okay?
Yeah.
But you're not there in understanding. And we have to learn through the things we suffer, learn who we truly are.
And it's not attaining to this or that.
It's not earning anything.
No, it's not attaining to
that. It's a learning process.
It's just you realize to let go. Let go and let God do whatever he wants.
He's going to win anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
the other side's foolish.
You're just beating yourself up. Taking and
absolutely,
because this flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
And I just remember how truly wonderful you are.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. How truly wonderful we are. We are. No, that's the truth. I know some friends that they say, I love myself. I said, good. You're supposed to. I said, what all those people out there think about you is none of your business. God didn't make you junk. He made you who you are, and you should care about yourself. If you don't care about yourself, you're part of God, right? Then you don't like God. Anybody look at you funny? That's all right. You can think anything you want to think. And I'm just telling you what I know.
Well, that goes down into those verses that you're coming to.
Yep. We're getting there.
We're getting all those experiences is basically living it. Just like it's happened over and over and over and over and over. We're living it.
Throughout time.
We don't even realize it, but we're living it. Yeah.
But we get to that place where there is no more time.
Well, the thing
that's the good thing.
What we say about living in the now, as soon as I say that, it's not now, that's past. Now it's now.
Yeah. And I mean, now it's now.
Yeah.
It's present.
And now it's now.
Yeah. Living in the present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, it changes that quick. As soon as you say it's history, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 8, right?
Yes.
And the voice which I heard from the spirit realm said unto me again, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the messenger, okay, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. There's a whole bunch going on in this little verse. What do you think a little book is?
It's a, in the thing, if you go to that.
It's Biblion.
Yeah, and I got there, and it was like also could be a small book of divorcing that flesh that nature in you.
Yeah, but he's telling you to consume this book, to let it become part of you.
The Word.
Mm-hmm.
Internalize it.
And okay. It's never any good as an external until you get it internal. It's never going to help you do anything.
Yes.
So he said, take this and eat it up. This open, and he said, take the little book which is open. What's that tell you about the revelation of this word?
It's available.
It's available to you. It's not in Daniel. He said, go your way, seal up the book until the end of time. You know, it's not sealed. When I first started going to quote the church system, they told me, don't read the book of Revelation. Because I said, why? And they said, well, in the book of Daniel, it says the book is sealed. I said, but that was Daniel. That's not this book. Yeah. I said, oh. But, you know, they didn't understand then. And I already knew. We didn't stay very long because I knew they didn't have anything to feed me. I was hungry. You know, I really started realizing who I was and what I needed to feed upon.
Told me to go get the book.
If you didn't understand it, even if you weren't there, your common sense tells you, if you're not supposed to read it, why was it added?
Why is it there? Yeah. I mean, like they say, there's just too many errors in what they're saying. Yeah. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out.
It's inconsistent with what
God's saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people saying it contradicts and stuff. But if you look, you know, look into the original language and let God speak to you through your experiences, it's not.
It's not too difficult.
It doesn't contradict itself. Nope. You just don't understand everything.
But this messenger, okay, which stands upon the sea and on the earth, what are we talking about again?
1 and 2.
The covenants 1 and 2. That's the foundation. That's how you get to the star covenant, by standing upon the first and second days. What Jesus said, on the first 2 days I mean miracles and cures, and on the third day I'll be perfected.
Okay.
Until I learn to stand upon the foundation of the dust and the sand covenants, I'm never going to see the star covenant. I'm never going to reach that covenant.
And just putting Jesus in the tomb on the third day he rose.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean,
that's what he was talking about
same
there.
Thing we got to do. We got to be in this earthly stuff.
Yep. And he was still in the earth. He was still upon the earth. But the earth had no sway on him.
Right.
And that's what we have to realize, that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. You know, we're just living here through our time. It's a process we're working through, and we're moving on. These people can live in this realm if they want to. I don't. Because this is not my home.
Yes.
This is a temporary dwelling place.
That's freeing. Yeah.
Huh?
That's freeing.
Sure it is. Verse 9, and I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book.
Obedience.
Yeah. So he did exactly what he was told. And do you think, and it says in James, ask and God will give you what you want. Right?
Yeah.
And he said to me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter. And what it should say is make your soul bitter. Because soul is a mixture, correct?
Yes.
Between the flesh and the spirit. Because Adam became a living soul when the Spirit of God was put in with the flesh, the dust.
Right.
Okay. It didn't settle too good, because when you take spiritual things and mix them into the soulish realm, we got confusion, haven't we? Double-minded man's what?
Unstable.
But it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. How many people have grabs the Word of God and read something and said, oh my, look how great this is. But when they start assimilating it down inside and take it internal, what's it do to their...
Turns the world upside down.
Yeah.
Been there, done.
Yeah. Great earthquake, you know. They don't like that stuff. So then you got conflict. Yeah. I couldn't tell you how many people I spoke over the last 27, 28 years and showed them things, the scripture, they go, oh my God, this is wonderful. And the next time you see them, they want to cuss you out.
Doesn't the refinement, once they assimilate a gut, then the assimilation refinement starts, and that's not real pleasant.
Oh, no.
That's because of the earthquakes and
they
stuff,
want
right?
They want to walk on the streets of gold
and do nothing,
you know, play harps and stuff like that, and that's not what God's talking about. But that's what preachers have conveyed to them so people believe that stuff.
Can't play harps if you don't have seat music.
That's right. He said, but it shall be in your mouth as sweet as what?
Honey.
See, but this is to an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
This is to first fruit people. When you have this and you take it and you eat up of this Word of God, and it's bitter in your belly, but in your mouth is sweet as honey. That's a revelation.
It's like, there it is.
It's going to make it right. You're going to begin to understand things. And it's not instantly zap, you popped on top of the head with a magic wand or Froggy's magic twanger or whatever we called it back then. You know, that ain't what it is. It's a process of getting there. You learn one thing. You step up on this stone, and tomorrow there's two stones, and you step a little higher. The next day there's more stones, and as you climb up, you get a better view of everything. In the natural and the spiritual. And it burn your feet maybe a little bit, you know. Some of them smooth and some of them not. But it's all part of the process. And now verse 10, he said, I did what he told me to do, see. I took the book out of his angel's hand, the messenger's hand, I ate it up. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Truth.
Yeah.
He told him truth,
and he received it, but it wasn't easy. It's not easy to hear the truth. Everybody thinks they have truth. And you know, there's two kinds of truth. A lot of people say, well, there's a truth and there's a false truth. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a truth temporal, and there's a truth eternal.
Yes.
See, truth, right now, temporal, we're sitting there talking. We're not going to be sitting here talking for eternity, are we? See, there's eternal things is that we will never die in spirit. That's an eternal truth. But we will die in the flesh. That's a promise. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. We have to pass on through this realm. We can't live in this realm and go to the next one, can we? Hard to do. Impossible. Okay, in verse 11. And he said to me, you must prophesy or speak under the inspiration, again, before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Got a purpose for coming to maturity. I know I've told you the process before, that if you got 100,000 people you're going to hire, or 100 people, and you take one of them, one out of 100 that God's looking for right now, according to scriptures. He's looking for that one out of 100 to train to be a first fruit son of God, to do the things that need to be done in the kingdom. See? Didn't Father say in Genesis when he had made his creation, what did he do on the seventh day?
He rested.
Guess what? Who does the rest of it?
We do.
First fruit sons. We got to do it. Okay? The administration of it. And the only way we're ever going to get close to doing anything in the kingdom of God And see, we're not building a kingdom. I said do anything in the kingdom. It's when our mind matches his mind. When we have his thought process and our thought process as the same. Does that mean that every word that comes out of your mouth is going to line up perfectly with these scriptures?
No, because you're still living in the flesh.
Well, these scriptures in the English is not really close. You have to break them down and go through a lot of stuff to get to the truth.
We still might be on the rocks, but sometimes that slippery slope creeps in there.
Well, there's things that... The way I look at something, if Lisa looks at it from where she's sitting right now, you're not seeing the same thing I'm seeing, are you? Mm-hmm. We're in the same room at the same elevation, but we can see different things, can't we? Same with Lloyd. Same with you. You know, every one of us in this room can all see different things from where we're sitting, but we're all sitting together.
So it's not a complete...
Seven of them.
Yeah. It's not, from one angle, it's not a complete view of that. Of that, whatever's going on, you know, you need all the complete.
Remember, years ago, I ministered a message on corn soup.
Yeah.
Thing. Mm-hmm. If I'm the only one shows up that gives anything about it, then it's just corn soup. What we're having, we're not going to have a good stew.
You said corn soup. I'm like, what?
No.
Corn soup.
I like that stone soup thing. Yeah. It just, they put in other vegetables, everybody puts in some, and it makes a good
stew or whatever. But if only one person is the only one that brings it, then it's nothing but corn. That's all I brought.
It could be just like potato soup or corn soup or
whatever. I just named it corn soup because it would be a bland thing.
I was bringing corn.
I was bringing corn, so I knew that.
It don't have no other flavors to it.
No. And we need the multiple flavors in there because the way you look at it, see, that's the difference, like I said, that God takes different people and deals with them in different ways. So your view is not exactly what mine is. It's not supposed to be.
I don't mean it's wrong.
Our views are incomplete, and as we put them together, they become more complete. Yeah. See? So, but still, if we're both sitting side by side, looking the same direction, I will still see something different than someone else. They'll see something different from me. And it doesn't mean we're wrong. It just means that's where our focus was at the time. Mm-hmm. They'll pick up a detail that I won't, or I'll pick up a detail they won't.
And they may not be able to articulate it to each individual so they can hear it.
Right.
I mean,
and when you can't do that, guess whose it is?
It's mine.
It's yours. Yeah. That's the ones you seal up. That's for you.
And then sometimes